From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. We've been hearing a lot of references these days to the Great Depression. If you have family members who lived through it, you may be hearing their stories today at the Thanksgiving table. Chicago was especially hard hit back in the 1930s. Unemployment climbed as high as 40% in some parts of the city. It was a period of protests and hunger marches, but many people suffered quietly. They were ashamed of their poverty. The Great Depression changed the generation that survived it. Independent producer Nina Ellis went to Chicago to hear their stories.
The city was more segregated then. Wanda Bridgeforth has rich memories of Bronzeville, known as the Black Metropolis. Louis Armstrong lived there. So did Ida B. Wells. It was fairly affluent until hard times came.
In the Depression, the men could not get jobs, and especially the Black men. Here was my father with a degree in chemistry, and he could not get a job.
And he was humiliated, she says. He just fell apart. And so her mother took what work she could find as a live-in domestic. And Wanda, just in grade school, was boarded out.
And she told me that this is the way it has to be. So we either do it and survive, or don't do it and don't survive.
Wanda Bridgeforth was sent to live with relatives and sometimes with strangers.
One house we lived in, there were 19 of us in a six-room house.
She did learn to share and cooperate, she says, but so many years doing without left a mark on her.
The kids do say that I'm a pack rat. And they say, well, what are you going to use this for? I say, I don't know, but I'm going to use it.
Winter was so cold. We huddled around the potbelly stove.
Henry Martinez grew up near the lake in South Chicago, the city's oldest Mexican neighborhood. His parents had 13 children. They lived hand to mouth in a flat with shared bathrooms.
You had to take a bath, you heat up the water in these big cans. It was always a challenge to keep warm. When I think about it, it was horrible. It was horrible. And then the sanitation of the community. Garbage was just put in the alley. And did that create a condition? Yes, it did. TB. Sometimes I like to block that out. Just, you know, thank God you're here.
He thanks God, but says the Catholic Church didn't do much to help his family back then. Today, at 76, he works as a community organizer, trying to help his old neighborhood, which is still poor. In a downtown office right next to the L tracks, Les O'Rear remembers an easier childhood. His father was a newspaper man in the 20s, and Les was in college when the stock market crashed.
Pretty soon I got a phone call that I'd have to come back to Chicago and find a job and try to help support my family.
And so he got a job at the stockyards, making 37.5 cents a day. Chicago was a hotbed of union organizing in the 1930s, and O'Rear dedicated himself to bringing in the union, and he felt youthful.
It was a wonderful time for me because here I was, this young fella with radical ideas are coming nowadays, and it's going on all over the country. I'm not a lone warrior. I'm a part of a vast machine.
Do you happen to have any memory of Thanksgiving during those times?
I have no memory whatsoever, nor Christmas either. We in the yards, well, we had Christmas off, but it was a day with no pay.
What about Thanksgiving?
No, you didn't work. You had Thanksgiving off. The company was kind enough to give you the day off, but you didn't get any pay. That's the way the world worked in those days before unions. That is the difference, kiddos.
Les O'Rear is 97 years old now, president emeritus of the Illinois Labor History Society. Bridgeport, south of the Loop, is home to the White Sox. Church steeples sprout from this working-class neighborhood of the Irish, Italians, Polish, Lithuanians, Chinese, and the Croatians of St. Jerome's Parish.
Peanut Man used to come
right. Or the Lupini guy. Right.
Many of them born during the 1920s to immigrant parents.
My mother had boarders living upstairs.
Gigi Bezich Cortese has lived in this neighborhood all her life. I met her and some of her friends at her home. She's 81 now.
And we had a man that lived upstairs. We called him John Vuk. And every Sunday he took us to the show. You know how I survived those days was going to the show every Sunday to see Shirley Temple. I'm telling you, she was my inspiration to go on and live. Right. Honest right. to goodness, I couldn't wait till Sundays. And we would just sit and wait for John Vuk to say, come on, we go to the show. Yeah. We go to the show today.
You certainly can say that people had heart for each other, and if they were able to help, more often than not, they did.
Dusko Chondich is 77. He's from the neighborhood, too.
In my own situation, my father died a relatively young man in his early 40s. He left 8 of us. Unfortunately, we lost the house. I can remember to this day, and I'll become emotional when I think of it, literally being placed on the sidewalk, every last possession that my poor mother had because she wasn't able to supposedly pay for the mortgage. And an incredible number of people came to my mother's aid, literally wheeling wheelbarrows of coal to help warm the house.
Chondich and his friends have lots of good memories, too. They were children back then, after all, glued to the radio.
Every Sunday at 4 o'clock, the shadow knows.
Right. Then
there's nothing they like better than gathering around the table and telling stories from the old days. Today, on Thanksgiving, their children and grandchildren might ask about the Great Depression, they say, but they're pretty sure the kids don't really understand.
My brother Mark has 10 kids, and somewhere along the line, you know, they tend to disregard the value of money. Oh, Dad, it's only money, you know, so what, I could earn some more. And on more than one occasion, he tells them, hey, kids, God forbid if the Depression comes around again, he says, I won't be opening the window and jumping out. He says, but I could see you guys doing it. And I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
There's a grit in this generation of Chicagoans and something of a swagger, too. The man who cries about his mother's struggles can boast in the face of today's catastrophe.
Tomorrow I could lose everything, you know. But somehow I'm not afraid. I really am not.
For NPR News, I'm Nina Ellis.